Good morning. It is wonderful to see so many of you and worshiping with us within the facility, within the church, and braving the cold weather. But you know, it's a little sunshine, so it makes it much warmer. So welcome to all of you who are joining us today in person or hopefully snuggled in a warm place watching us virtually. It is always a wonderful opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. We welcome any guests that we have, and we would encourage you to scan the QR code for a gift, and we want to make sure your presence is known. So as we come to worship this morning, let us hear these words. As we come to worship, look around us and appreciate each other and know that we are something bigger than just me. May this community draw us into you, O Lord. As we come to worship this morning, let us look inward to realize that you, O God, are within us, beneath us, above us, and around us. As we come to worship this morning, let us be open to a new vision of your kingdom, to a new understanding of your purpose, and to a new knowing of how best to serve you, and to a new awareness of all that you would have us to do as your people in the place and time. Draw us close to you, O Lord. Let us worship.
Good morning. The second verse of our hymn this morning says, I, the Lord of snow and rain, and it does not mention wind chill, but I have to believe that must be involved somehow. Our first hymn is Here I Am, Lord. It is on page 593, and we will sing all three verses. Please stand and sing.
Thank you.
us confirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose to the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this point, we invite all the children to please come forward for a children's moment.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Yeah? Braving the cold? Well, Miss Amy is not here today. She's in a much warmer place, and so I'm jealous of her. As she's on vacation this week, let's be praying that they are safe and that they have a great time. So my name's Megan, and I brought some keys today. I've got a car key and a house key, brought my school classroom key, all kinds of keys. Do you ever like to play with keys? Yeah, maybe hit the little fob right here that locks the door and makes the horn honk or something like that. Yeah, I know. That stuff's fun. So each key is specifically cut to open a specific door. So if I try to open my classroom door with my house key, is that going to work out very well for me? No, it isn't. And so did you know that God has his own set of keys? Yeah, they're not really keys, though, that you can see. So I can't, like, hold them in my hand or anything like that. But you can definitely see the impact on your life. So he has some keys like prayer. We can pray with him. We can worship him, sing songs to him. But the one that I want to talk today is about faith. So there was a man, and Jesus was visiting a town called Capernaum. And there was a Roman army officer whose friend and servant was very sick. And so the officer heard about Jesus, and he sent some men to ask him to come and heal his servant. Well, Jesus went with them, and on his way, more of the officer's men met him to bring him a new message. Because, you know, Jesus was really important, and people had all kinds of things to say to him. And so the officer was kind of scared that maybe his house wasn't worthy of Jesus going to. Like, if somebody said, Jesus is coming to your house, Megan, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure my house is ready. I'm not sure I'm worthy. So that's kind of how this man was feeling. And so he said, hey, how about instead of Jesus coming to my house, Jesus just says the words from right here, and then my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard of this, he was impressed by that officer's faith in him. And so he proclaimed to the crowd, and he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's men arrived back at his house, they found that servant, get this, completely healed. I mean, only Jesus, right? Only Jesus could heal from so far away when he wasn't right there with the person. The Roman officer did not need Jesus to show up physically in person. He already knew that his healing power would transcend and fix the situation. He just needed Jesus to know what was in his heart. And that is faith. And just like the officer, our faith can open our hearts to the power of God if we let it. So we have a faith bracelet for you today that you will get on your way down the aisle to go hang out with the ladies this morning. And so while before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. God, we are so grateful that you are always with us. Help for us to remember that no matter what is going on in our lives, if we have faith in you, that unlocks a mighty power. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good morning. So right now we're going to be entering time of prayer. This is the time where we come together and uplift our brothers and sisters and just come to the Father as a family. So this morning we do want to keep a couple of our members of our brothers and sisters in our prayers. We do have Amy Bailey, Rick Moore, Matt Griffith, Tommy Talker, Linda Bushong. We also want to mention Karen Alexander. She lost her mom, so we just want to pray for her and her family for comfort and peace. So before we begin, let's just spend a couple of seconds just being intentional and acknowledging that the sweet Holy Spirit is here with us. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, lover of our souls, we humbly come to you with grateful hearts. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful sun. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Father, allow us to just see the small things around us, Lord, to be grateful. Thank you for the little ones. Thank you that we are able to see them grow, not only physically, but also spiritually. Thank you for the teachers, Lord, that are with them right now, teaching them about you. Father, I just want to thank you for everybody who's here. Thank you, Lord, that you brought them here safe. And I just pray for everyone. You know their hearts, and you know what's going on in their lives. I just pray, Father, that throughout the week that you'll continue to walk with them, and may they seek you and know that you listen and that you are with them. Father, again, we just want to pray for our brothers and sisters. We lift up our sister Amy Bailey, Rick Moore, Matt Griffin, Tommy Talker, and Linda Bushong. Father, we also want to pray specifically for our sister Karen, Lord. We know that it's hard to lose somebody, and especially someone as close as her mom, Lord. And I just pray that you'll be with her and her family. I pray for comfort. I pray for peace. And Father, in the time of grieving, just let her depend on you and let her know that all will be well, that you are with her and that mom is with you. Father, as we continue worship, I just pray that you prepare our hearts and prepare Pastor Mark as he shares your word. Be with us all. Sweet Jesus, we want to thank you for the sacrifice that you've done on the cross, and thank you for that beautiful prayer that you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 11. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Beth, Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Again, I just can't say enough thanks for how you continue to step up in the support of the ministry of this church. This past year, it was just amazing to see what was able to be done because of your giving and because of your sacrifice. Of course, it's that time of the year, and we get ready to go through the tax process as we have. We do have end-of-the-year statements for you on your giving here at church. We're trying to be good stewards across the board, and so one of the things that we want to do this year is to give you an opportunity to pick up your end-of-the-year giving statement instead of us mailing those to you. So those end-of-the-year statements are out in the Welcome Center, so you can go out that door, go down the steps, and the Welcome Center is right there at the bottom of the steps. And we have those statements for you in closed envelopes, and we hope that maybe many of you will go down there and grab yours. That helps us out to be good stewards, to be mindful of what God has blessed us with. But again, thanks so much for how you give. I just can't be more amazed and grateful for how this church continues to step up in so many ways. And so with all that said, now we'll invite our ushers to come forward as we take up our morning tithes and his offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we offer our tithes and offering to you, may we also offer our willingness to be led by you, to be open to new ways of living and working, so we may know your abundance. We pray this in gratitude for all your blessings. Amen.
There is a
Choir, thank you very much for that and for being here today and for all of you that are here. Thankful that you braved it this morning. I think this is one of those Sunday mornings that I am very thankful that I get to wear a robe. It works out very well for sure. Maybe not in July, but definitely today for sure. You know, how many times in your life over the years have you said, this year is going to be different? How many times have you said that? And with that, you had really good intentions for about 2 weeks to be different, but then nothing really changes. Well, if you've had that experience before, let me just say, it's not just you, it's all of us. You know, right about now, January 14th, 2 weeks into the new year, you might be starting to struggle. Planet Fitness is already starting to slow down. I was there yesterday. Now, what does it take to make permanent change in your life? What does it take? You know, one of the things that I have discovered over the years is that setting goals for life as you begin a new year, particularly personal goals, usually can keep us focused on things. Now, I'm not just talking about goals that are mentioned maybe in a self-help book, but what I'm really talking about is setting spiritual goals with faith. You see, I believe that goal setting is a spiritual discipline, just like prayer, just like giving, just like Bible study is. I think all of us here today want to be better in our spiritual lives. I think we all want that. You know, God, I want to make the most of what I have been given. God, I want to give you my life back. I want you to use it in whatever ways you see fit. Folks, think about it. You can spend your life away. You can waste your life away. Or you can invest your life. And when you set faith goals, spiritual goals, I believe you can fulfill all the purposes that God has intended for your life. So here this morning as we begin, we are going to look at four things that can happen in your soul, that can happen in your heart when you set faith goals. And I think it's good for us to think about this as we begin this new year with God. So let's jump right in. First, setting faith goals. Now, you're going to have to consider what those faith goals will be, whether it's praying more, reading your Bible more, giving more, serving more. But when you set faith goals, the first thing you need to do, the first thing that can happen is it focuses our energy. All right? When we set faith goals, it can focus our energy. Now, energy, folks, that is not focused doesn't have much power. But energy that is focused, I believe, has enormous power. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 says this, I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just air. So basically what that's saying to us is, I'm not just running around in circles in life. No, I'm running towards a goal. And I believe we need to have goals in everything we do. And it's important because if you think about it, you and I, we don't have time for everything. And God doesn't want us to try to do everything in life. A lot of us are wasting our time on things that really don't matter. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but we're wasting a lot of time on things that don't matter because sometimes we struggle with not knowing the difference between what's urgent in life and what's really important in life. You see, urgent is almost never the most important. And what's most important in life becomes the easiest thing for us to set aside. You know, I want to spend time with God. I want to spend more time with my family. But at times, I set it aside for what's urgent, for what I think is more important. Folks, a lot of stuff isn't going to matter tomorrow. Do you ever get to the end of a day and think to yourself, where did all my time go? Well, sure you have. And many of those days that we think that, we were maybe unfocused, or maybe we got sidetracked on a lot of different things that weren't that important. You see, I believe we need to know the difference between pressures and priorities. You know what's most important in your life and do those things and don't worry about everything else. Second, number two, setting faith goals can stretch my faith. I think when we have goals when it comes to our spiritual lives, it can really stretch our faith. We can become more of that person that God wants us to be. You see, goals are actually statements of faith that affirm our trust in God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 says, "According to your faith will it be done to you." You see, you have never really trusted God until you have attempted something in life that can't be done in your own power. And faith goals are so big at times that they force you to depend upon God and His strength and His guidance. You see, the question is not who do we think we are? The question is who do we think God is? You see, you let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. So set your goals high in life and then let God work in you and through you. How do you know when you need faith in life? You know, how do you know when you really need some faith? Well, it's when you're taking a risk in life. And a lot of times in life, we are very reluctant to take risks in life, and we just try to play it safe, don't we? But I believe when it comes to our spiritual lives, God wants us to take risks in life. And when you take those risks by setting faith goals, you are trusting, you are depending on God, and that stretches your faith. Third. Number three, setting faith goals builds your character. Now, this is an important one, I think, for all of us. Faith goals can build our character. You see, the greatest benefit of setting goals in faith is not that you accomplish your goal. That's not what it's about. It's what happens on that journey to accomplish your goal. It's who you become on that journey. One of the ways you develop character in life is by setting a goal and then going after it and not giving up on it when you go through all kinds of difficulties or challenges or struggles in life. In the struggles of life, you develop the character that God wants you to have. And I believe that life is a course on character development. You see, folks, God's number one goal for you is not to make you happy in life. God's number one goal for you is not to make you comfortable in life. God's number one goal for you is not to make you feel secure in life. No, God's number one goal for you in life is to become more like His Son, Jesus. And with that, He wants you to grow in character. He wants you to grow in integrity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, "Then we will be mature, just as Christ is, and we will be like Him." You see, it's going to take the rest of your life to grow in character, to grow in integrity, and goals, spiritual goals, faith goals that we set will help that growth to happen. And then number four, setting faith goals can give us hope. Setting faith goals in life can give us hope. Now, all of us need hope in our lives. And I believe that spiritual goals can help us to attain that. We all know that life is tough. Life is challenging. Goals give you hope to keep you moving forward, even in those losses of life, even in the tragedies of life. Goals keep you moving forward, even when you feel like giving up. You see, without goals in life, folks, you don't have a reason to go on. You don't even have a reason to get out of bed each morning. And I think we've all been through those tough times of despair and challenge in life. You know, I remember several years ago being in that type of situation, that type of challenge, and wondering if I was going to come out of it, if I was going to survive. You see, I didn't have much hope in life. I didn't have much going on. And I'm glad though that I didn't give up. And I'm so thankful that God put people in my life to keep me moving forward. But I'm really glad that God didn't give up on me. That passage of scripture that Beth read for us earlier, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, says, "The plans I have for you are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They are plans to give you a hope and give you a future." You know, I held on to that verse during that time in my life. You know, sometimes we just drift alone in life, don't we? And sometimes we get stuck in the past. And sometimes we just get bogged down in the today. But the bottom line is, folks, I think you need to set some goals, some faith goals. Some of us here today need to get focused upon what God is calling us to do in life. And that's what we want to look at now. For just a moment, what kind of goals should I set? Now, you can decide on the goals for yourself. Again, pray more, study the Bible more, give more, serve more. You can think of those goals, but what kind of goals should I set in life? Well, first, ones that bring glory to God. You know, whatever goal you set in life, it needs to bring glory back to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." I love that verse. Whatever you do in life, do it all for the glory of God. You see, I believe that anything in life can be done for the glory of God if you do it with the right motivation. So what kind of goal brings glory to God? Well, any goal that causes me to love Jesus more, or any goal that causes me to be more grateful to God and what He has done in my life, or any goal that causes me to want to serve God more, any goal that causes me to want to share my testimony and my witness to God and what He is doing in my life. You see, those are godly goals. So if you want to bring glory back to God in your life, do it by loving and do it by trusting. Do it by serving and do it by obeying. Second, I need to set goals, whatever those goals may be, spiritual goals that are motivated by love. I can't stress that enough, folks. Whatever your spiritual goals are in life, they need to be motivated by love. This one is so important because God is far more interested on why you do what you do than what you actually do. Let me say that again. God is far more interested in why you do what you do than He is with what you actually do. You see, He's more interested in your heart. He's more interested in your soul than He is your actions. And God doesn't want us to set goals that are motivated by fear in life or guilt or pride or envy or jealousy or materialism or any of those other worldly things. God wants us to set our goals in life to be motivated by love, period. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14 says this, "Everything you do must be done with love." Everything you do must be done with love. Why? Because God is love. And He put us all here on this earth to learn how to love. And folks, if we don't learn that, then it doesn't matter what else we accomplish on this earth. To love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, that's a pretty good goal to set for the new year. And finally, we need to set faith goals that are accomplished with God's power. Faith goals that are accomplished with God's power. There's a very simple verse in the Old Testament from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 that I love so very much. I refer to it from time to time. It says this, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Think about that, folks. We can't do it on our own strength, on our own power. But we do it with God's Spirit. You know, there are faith goals where God must step in and help you and give you the strength and give you the energy to do it. Godly goals are achieved with God's power. You know, if we were to look on Amazon.com right now, I bet you would find thousands of self-help books listed there for sale. And some of those books that are listed, I'm sure have some very good advice in them. But you see, there are none of them listed there that give you the power that the Word of God gives you. You see, a self-help book can tell you to forgive someone, but not how you do it. You say, I can't forgive that person for what they said to me or what they did to me. And guess what? You're right. That's why you need God. And that's why you need His power to do it. And folks, because He forgives you, He will give you the power to forgive others. Now, let's be honest here for a moment or two. Let's just be really honest with ourselves. How many years have started off in January? You've started off and you've had this resolution, you've had this thing that you're going to work on, this change, and only a few weeks into it, you're back in the same spot. We've all experienced that. And that's why you need goals, spiritual goals, that are accomplished by God's power. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you can't get well on your own. And you can't get whole on your own. You will not change on your own. No. You need God. You need His power. You need others around you to support you and to encourage you and to challenge you to make the changes that you need to make in your life. Folks, this could be the best year of your life. Better yet, this could be the best year of this church. As we set goals, faith goals, in our lives to be the people and the church that God wants us to be. I challenge you in the next couple of days to consider where God is leading you and to trust in that lead. And to set goals, faith goals, for yourself and your family. And see where God leads. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for the opportunities that we have in the new year. Lord, it's great to have a time of start over like this. It's a great time for us to consider our lives, consider our families, consider where we are spiritually. And just like everything else in life, Lord, we need to set spiritual goals. And only each person here today and You, Lord, can decide what those spiritual goals are going to be for them. To pray more, to study Your Word more, to give more, to serve more, to look for ways to love people, to love our neighbor, to love You, God, whatever they may be, we need to set spiritual goals and then to see what You can do in our lives. Lord, we will be blessed. And Lord, you will enable us to be the people that you would want us to be, the church that you would need us to be. So God, I thank you for the opportunity of the new year to consider these things. And I pray for all of us, Lord, it would not be something that we would just start for a week or two and then abandon, but Lord, we would continue in the months to come to seek ways to get to know you better and in turn be able to serve you and others better. So bless us, Lord, and help us to be, yes, the people and the church that you need us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite you here this morning as we sing our closing hymn. If there's something that you feel like God is leading you to do in the new year, or something that's been tugging on your heart that maybe you want to spend a moment or two and come forward and pray about it. There's nothing better than coming forward to this altar and to pray and to seek God's guidance and to know of his Spirit and his love upon you. So if you need to respond in any way, I hope you do so here this morning as we prepare to sing our closing hymn. Rebecca.
Please stand and join me in verses 1, 3, and 4 of When We All Get to Heaven.
Ask you to remain standing for just a moment or two. I want to invite some special folks forward here this morning. James and Carrie Cousins and James Jr. Is he maybe around? No, he's with the kids. All right, good deal. All right, I want you to meet these folks, and maybe you have. If you're associated with Kentucky Wesleyan, you know James. He is the provost over there, VP for Academic Affairs. Did I get that right? Wow, I did really good. That's great. I did. But these guys are some good folks. And James is also a pretty good golfer. So we're going to check that out this spring, aren't we? That's right. That'd be good. But I am so grateful to meet you guys and get to know you better. And James wants to move his membership here to Settle Memorial. And we're excited about that, excited about this family joining us. And so I hope you'll join me in welcoming them and praying for them and being on this journey with them. So James, I want to ask you this one question that we ask all who join this United Methodist Church. Will you uphold and support this United Methodist Church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah. This is what we're going to do, folks. When we have the benediction, I'm going to invite as many as you can to come forward and meet these guys and welcome them. and share some love with them this morning, because we're excited that they are a part of our church family. Well, we've had a good day here together, and again, we have begun this new year, and I hope as you go through the next days and weeks, you may have some extra time with the bad weather, being at home, that you'll consider where you are spiritually, and maybe what God's wanting you to do in your life in the coming days. I think it's good for us to set faith goals and then see what God can do with us. Let's hear this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you this day and forevermore. May God bless us all. Amen.